I would like to hear from you. When you think of technology, what do you think of? On the way up here, we drove through a lot of woods, and I was beginning to wonder if these people have technology, if they know what technology is. And then we get here, and it seems we're a lot the same. But what comes to your mind when you think of technology? Mm-hmm. Yes, information, for sure.
I think technology can make people really lazy, because I think, from what I hear and see, public schools are letting too much technology give the answers to the students. So they don't have to learn to memorize it, they just look it up on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think technology can make people really lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think technology is something that makes my life easier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's that goes exactly with things that I was finding fast and easy. Fast and easy is the theme in technology. So that's kind of, and that can be good. That can be good. But when you have fast and easy and you apply technology, it can be faster and easier to do the wrong thing. So if we have a life that has not a wise use of time, we don't have good time management, now it's faster and easier to waste our time. And so technology is a multiplier. It makes things fast and easy. And I'll give you the technical definition. There's many definitions, but a definition would be the rational process of creating, ordering, and transforming matter, energy, and information. So when we have technology, that's what it's the process of creating, ordering, transforming. Technology comes from the root word is the same as technique. And so if you have a technique, you have a skill or an art. And so technology is when you apply the process and the technology changed quite a bit over the years. And when I think about how it started in Genesis 1, in Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28, I think, and this is in the garden, this is a perfect earth, this is before the fall, and I see the possibility for technology here in a perfect world. He says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we have the purpose of man is to, some of the purpose of man that we have revealed here is to have dominion, to subdue. And I think we're going to need some technology to do that. And then we, in a chapter or two later, we have the fall, and we have work became a lot harder. And now we have thistles, and we have to work a lot harder. And it really made the need for more tools, the hoe, the rake, the more technology. And so that's, we can look at technology and say that, yes, it's a tool, technology is a tool to help us fulfill our purpose. But the question that I want to think about in technology, and I want to think about second order consequences. So when you think about a consequence, so what is a second order? I'm going to just read a little bit of what a second order consequence is. A second order consequence is an indirect, longer-term impact that ripples out from your decisions. These downstream effects may be less apparent, but can ultimately have a much bigger influence on your outcome. So when we have technology to help us fulfill a God-given purpose, that's good. That's a good decision. But what are some other consequences? What are longer-term impacts that ripple out from our technology as it evolved over thousands of years? So I want to look a little bit about how technology is, maybe the modern version of technology is being used against us. And I'm going to read a book overview. I think this was the back of the book or else the front. It's a book overview of a book called Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products, written by Nir Eyal. And from what I understand, he had technology, built and sold a couple of technology companies, and he understands what the big companies are doing and how technology is so habit-forming. And so he spells that out. I did not read the book. I read some of his blogs, but he gives a model, a four-step process that the big companies are using. And so I'm going to read that overview now. He says, how do successful companies create products that people can't put down? What makes us engage with certain products out of sheer habit? Is there a pattern underlying how technologies hook us? Nir Eyal answers these questions and many more by explaining the hook model, a four-step process embedded in the products of many successful companies to subtly encourage customer behavior. Through consecutive hook cycles, these products reach their ultimate goal of bringing users back again and again, without depending on costly advertising or aggressive messaging. Hooked is based on Eyal's years of research, consulting, and practical experience. He wrote the book he wished had been available to him as a startup founder, not abstract theory, but a how-to guide for building better products. Hooked is written for product managers, designers, marketers, startup founders, and anyone who seeks to understand how products influence our behavior. And so I just want to read that as a little bit of an eye-opener, that there's a lot of science and there's a lot of teaching and there's a lot of thought into developing technology that is being used to push the agenda of the developer and not necessarily for our benefit. You could argue that I'm sure it would be debatable with, but technologies are being created to push the agenda, to draw us in, to hook us. And just to briefly go over his hook model, he talks about how we have to cycle through this, and he starts out with an external trigger. So the first step is an external trigger, and we have lots of things that can be beeping and ringing. And these things need to draw us to a fast and easy action. So fast and easy. And then there needs to be a variable reward. We don't really know. It's kind of that feeling when you walk past the refrigerator and you don't really know what's in there, but sometimes it's really good. So you kind of got that. You open the door just to check it out. So variable reward. You never know. And then investment. And so when you invest in something and you engage in something and you cycle through this process, that investment, external trigger, fast and easy action, variable reward, and investment creates an internal trigger. And now we don't have to rely on external triggers. Now we have a habit-forming device. And I think I can see that as I look at social media and some of those things, and just the, you're not sure what's going to be on there, and you can engage, and you can, you know, there's some things there, I think, that people have put some thought into how they're drawing us in, how they're hooking us. In the 1960s, they said this about the internet, and so I guess this was in the time era when they were thinking or developing what would be the internet. It says, the internet is at once a worldwide broadcasting capability, a mechanism for information dissemination, a medium for collaboration, interaction between individuals and their computers without regard to geographic location. That was a little bit of, that was a bit much there, but it's information, it's putting out information, it's a medium for collaboration between individuals and their computers without regard to geographic location. So the internet is just taking down barriers of time, of space, of where you are. And when I look at technology and how the internet is taking down those barriers for communication, location, what we do, where we work. For my work, I could work from anywhere, really, as long as I have the internet for my job, and I could work basically 24 hours, 7 days a week if I wanted to as well, because of the internet. And so technology is making it difficult, and I think it's affecting, it can affect our spiritual life. It can affect the kingdom of God when it's not being used wisely. And so when you look at technology and the challenges, we need to remember that there is, I like to remember the positive and the potential that's there with technology, but we can't deny the fact that technology does create a real struggle with time. So I want to look at a little bit on time, and maybe before we get there, technology creates an environment where we operate in for all of life. Makes things easier and faster. And we talked a little bit about that. And so when you apply technology to a lack of discipline in time or unwise use of time, you have a faster and easier use of wasting time. And so what is God's design in time? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. I was a bit intrigued about how many times I would go to Genesis to talk about technology. When you think about technology, you think about the latest modern invention to make things faster and easier. But we can learn quite a bit on technology and time management from Genesis. Starting in actual verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. And so what does God say, what is God's design in time? And I want to think about time in two senses. Number one, the hours and the minutes, or the quantitative aspect of time. So managing time in, say, the hours and the minutes. But then we also want to think about time as in the quality of our time. Like time as in fulfilling our purpose. Are we fulfilling our purpose in our time? And so there's the quantity, the hours, the minutes. There's the quality, the purpose. And the Bible has different words, words that would be time or aspects of time. But the one I want to look at first is the quantity of time, managing the hours and the minutes. In chapter Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And this is day one. And the sun and the moon doesn't come later until verse 14. And I think that's interesting, how God is creating a cycle. There would be light, or he created division, he light and darkness. As we go on into verse 14 to 18, that's when he creates the sun, the moon, the stars. God said, verse 14, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and night and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And let's flip a page to, or maybe we'll just call attention to, so that was the fourth day. And so on day one, he creates light, darkness. Day four, it's the cycles, it's the seasons, the stars, the moon. And on day seven, it's the Sabbath. And what I see him doing here is creating cycles. I see him creating cycles for us to help us manage our time. I don't believe God needed the light and the darkness so that he could have a time to work and to rest. I think he created that for us, a cycle to work, a cycle work, rest. I don't see him creating the seasons. Some seasons are busier, slower seasons of life. When we see that we're in a season, we can a lot of times see ourselves through realizing that it's a season and there'll be a slower season and we can rest and recover. It changes our pace of life. And I see God creating cycles and seasons to help us manage our time. And in the Sabbath, I see him creating a day, or it would help us manage our time. A time to work, a time to rest, a time to worship. God creating cycles and seasons. And just thinking about, God didn't need those for him. I think he made those for us. And when you look at technology and you realize technology, the internet, how it's breaking down the barriers, of location, of time, of communication. And think about how that affects work. For myself, when I think about technology, I guess I don't feel I struggle as much with the social media or some of the communication points of technology that maybe some would automatically think of technology. I think there's what I would find is there's a struggle in keeping priorities when you are providing, when you're running a business with technology, and how the technology can take down the barriers. There's an expectation to be available, almost, and the expectation to answer, and the expectation to be getting a hold of. But God created the cycles and the seasons, I believe, to help us manage our time. And so when we think about time, there's that aspect. There's also the aspect of fulfilling a purpose. And so the original word for time in Ephesians 5, where it talks about seeing that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That time is, the original word there is keros, which means time as opportunity, a fitting season, a season or occasion. And so let's think about time as a fitting season, or time as opportunity. Colossians 4:5, much the same, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And so managing our time, time is opportunity. And what is technology? How is technology affecting the opportunities? What is at stake? What are we losing? And what is threatening our wise use of time? I heard an advertisement recently. This was a guy that was excited about artificial intelligence, and he was very excited about how he could come into your business and implement a system, various systems, but say customer service. So just having emails and phone calls and, you know, different things like that being answered, and you know, just taking the place of your people, basically. And I'm just thinking that I sure don't want to be on the other end of that, talking to some machine, but they're making them pretty real these days. Sometimes you have to, sometimes you're wondering if you're talking to a real person or not. And I'm just looking at some of this technology, and I'm thinking about some of the opportunities that are being lost due to the, that's just an example of how maybe a business with customer service would be losing opportunity to redeem the time. The time is opportunity, and you're losing out on that opportunity. And you might say that's pretty far out there. We're not on the AI bandwagon yet, which that's good, I think. But what about things like tool booths, paying at the pump? I went hunting with a man that meant a lot to me, taught me a lot of things. And the one time we were headed down on the way to our hunting spot early in the morning, so this is 3 a.m. This was a number of years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and so they had people at the tool booths yet. And so when it's 3 a.m. and there's not a whole lot of people going through, those people, I'm sure, are a little lonely. But he handed out a track. And so with his change as he went through, just making the most time as opportunity. Paying at the pump is something that if I'm at the pump and it's not taking my card, it can be quite frustrating. But when you think about time as opportunity and how there are many opportunities that we're not taking the advantage of to talk to people, whether it's the cashier, the person collecting the toll, or the customer service. there's a lot of things, and I think maybe it might have more to do with a mindset. As I think about technology, I like to have the latest time-saving device. But I think you can easily get, maybe lose focus and start viewing time as only hours and minutes, losing focus that time is opportunity and how do we redeem the time. And so that's something that I think we should be thinking about in technology is the quantity, the sense of managing hours and minutes. And God has created cycles and seasons that can help us with that. But it's also more than that. It's also making the most of opportunity, and that might affect how we use technology as well, how we might communicate with people. I think that's probably a big one, that communication. How many times did I or did you send a message, a text message maybe, because that was going to be faster, but then the the heart of the message did not go through, and it took a lot more time, and it took a lot more phone calls to clear things up and say, well, this is what I meant. And sometimes, in order to really make the most of opportunities, we need to interact with people, and technology may get in the way at times. The advances of technology create a struggle in using time wisely. Internet taking down barriers, tools immersing us and consuming our time, focus on hours and minutes rather than fulfilling of purpose. The conclusion, our own artillery may be dropping a barrage directly on us. And so, what do I need to live victoriously in technology and time management? What do I need? Is there something that I can go to give me a picture, to give me a framework, to help me make application for technology and time management? Turn to Matthew 13. I think Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower and the seed, how the sower went out to sow and he spread the seed, and some fell on stony ground, some fell by the wayside, and some was choked out by the weeds, and some fell on good soil. And really what it's, I believe, the context of the parable is to help us see how an environment can affect growth. So you have an environment, a shallow soil environment, a rocky a wayside environment, and you have these pictures of these environments and how they affect the growth. And I think as I looked at technology and time, it has a lot to do with environment. Environment is what we have surrounding us. It's the area in which we live and move, and it's the things around us. And when I look at the environment and I look at this parable, I'm going to go through, we'll read the verses, but then I'm going to ask two questions for each of one of the soil types. And I'm going to ask, what is the modern day environment this parallels? So we have these different soil types and how that environment is conducive to growth or not. And then, how can I take control of technology and time in that environment? So what is the modern day parable? And then, how can I take control if I'm in that environment? So let's read Matthew 13, verses 3 to 8. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And verse 18 is where he interprets the parable. And he says in verse 18, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So let's think about a wayside environment. Let's think about a sower. He's sowing, and some seed falls on a wayside environment, and he says this environment, this soil is one where the person does not understand. when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away. It never has a chance. It fell there, and the birds came and devoured them up before they had a chance. And we talked about technology and how the theme in technology is fast and easy. And I think with this theme of fast and easy in technology, I think the result is shallowness. Actually, we'll get that to the shallow soil. When we think about, I think I got ahead of myself, thinking about the wayside, what is the wayside environment in technology and time? What is the modern day environment that this parallels? The birds that are snatching away, the ones that are taking away before it has a chance. Think about maybe the many platforms, the many voices. There's a saying I heard, see if I can get it together. The internet has done many things. What was that line about, but it can't make the lame walk. It can't make the lame walk, but it can let the dumb be heard. Something like that. But there's many platforms, and the internet can do a lot of things, but just the ease of passing along an opinion or a theory and what that does. Jeremiah 23 says, "Behold, I'm against the prophets that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." And he was talking about there in Jeremiah 23 about how the false prophets, they would be talking about everybody else and what they were talking about, and they weren't coming to him and hearing from him and saying what he was saying. They were stealing the words from other people, and they were saying what other people said rather than what God said. And I think about the modern day environment that this wayside soil might parallel. Everybody has a voice and an opinion. How can I take control of technology and time in a wayside environment? 2 Timothy 3 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And so, time in the Word, hearing God, reading His Word, discipline of quiet time, Bible reading, prayer, hearing from God. And that can be hard, and I think that the struggle is multiplied when we have access to fast and easy answers. When we have access to fast and easy communication with someone else or reaching out and research to someone else. The next soil type is shallow soil. The shallow soil, some fell among the stony places where they had not much earth. They sprung up, but some fell among the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. Something that it was there, it caught hold, it sprung up, but was quickly scorched and withered away. And in verse Matthew 13 and verse 20, He talks more about this shallow soil. He says, "He that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." So someone that they spring up, but as soon as there's persecution, they're offended. And what is the modern day environment that this can parallel? The shallow soil. I think technology makes it easy for being shallow in understanding and conviction. The theme was fast and easy, and I think the result is a shallow, because we didn't wrestle through and make it personal. I actually watched a video on how someone was, they were at a job, they were doing a job interview over the phone, and so they were having a Zoom meeting, and he was being asked the questions, and on his other screen right beside him was this artificial intelligence technology giving him the answers, and he was the puppet in the interview, and I don't know if he got hired or not. He was giving great answers as he was fed them to pass along. But think about just the shallowness, just the maybe the disappointment if he was hired and actually faced something tough, and how the lack of depth would be there. And how does that happen today? I think there's a lot of information. There's a lot of information, and there's a lot of information that we can have access to, and we can, and maybe there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of what talks about tribulation and persecution, and I think about some of these social media platforms and how maybe when something is mentioned, people would come out and say something that they otherwise wouldn't say in person. Just the unnecessary position you put yourself in for persecution, for tribulation, for being offended, for these things. Things are quickly, there's no deepness, there's no relationship, there's no real connection, there's no understanding. There might be, facts. There might be things that are back and forth, but they're lacking depth. Weedy soil, the soil that has the thorns that choke, verse 22, he that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It's something that there's soil there. The environment is good for growth, but it's being choked out. And I think technology makes this challenging, because we have lots of opportunities. We can take advantage of opportunities across the world. We can take advantage of opportunities any time, day or night, depending on what they are. And these things, they can immerse us. We can become overly concerned about things that, and maybe they're good things. Maybe they're things that are not bad things, but they just are. They're invasive. They're invasive on our time, and our environment is not good for growing. I do some hunting, and I have one of those cameras that they're out in the woods, and they'll send you the pictures to your phone when the deer walks past. And so I've learned that it's best if you don't have your phone right beside you when you're having devotions. And so I had that in the next room. But even that can be a problem, because it turns out when you're having your devotions at about 6 or 7 in the morning is also a good time when the deer are moving. And to have the phone there ringing and dinging, and you know the deer are walking past, and it just really wreaks havoc on your devotional time for them. And so we have to be really intentional about these invasive things, and things that they're okay in their place, but we have to look at how to grow the Word of God, or how the kingdom of God is going to be to grow in my life, how it will become fruitful, and what are the areas where thorns may be invading that. We have the productive soil in verse 8. And verse 23 gives the interpretation. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which he also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The modern day environment and technology and time that this parallels, one that takes control over his environment to ensure growth. One that takes control over his environment to ensure growth. Three of these soil types looked good on the surface. Only one was good for growing. Technology is only profitable if we use it wisely as a tool for a specific purpose. Technology is only profitable when we use it wisely as a tool for a specific purpose. And so as we look back how we started in Genesis and how technology could be good to fulfill our purpose and how the downstream effects of that, where something that we have to subdue and have dominion over the earth can now so easily subdue and have dominion over us. Technology is only profitable when we use it wisely as a tool for specific profitable things. How can I have a productive environment with technology and time? Develop routines and standards for how, when, and where we use technology. Technology often goes against the grain of discipline. Fast and easy is the theme in technology, and shallow is the result. And so technology, it really does go against the grain of discipline, and that's why I think it's important to exercise discipline. And it needs to be something we grow in. It might take some time to get where we want to be, but we can always stop and consider what the next step is. Is it a managing of the hours and the minutes, using those more profitable? Is it seeing time as opportunity, and rather than and viewing time-saving devices and weighing that against whether it will be profitable and fulfilling our purpose in time? And I think another thing we can do is we can make unprofitable things difficult to do rather than fast and easy. And so technology is a struggle because the tools that I have in my pocket with my cell phone that I can do, what I can accomplish so fast and easily. Maybe sometimes we need to set aside and we need to create some space where there's going to be unprofitable things as we develop that discipline. So, gives us some things to think about, and like I said, as we thought about technology and how it's an artillery that can seem to be dropping a barrage directly on us, it can seem to really be defeating us in our time management. We can't lose sight of and the focus and the just the potential that we have. And so may God bless us as we use it wisely. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the technology, the tools that you have allowed us to create, to invent, to spread your word, to reach people, to communicate with people, to build your kingdom, to bless you, spread your word. But Father, we recognize the concerns and the struggles that we have in regards to our time. Pray that we could be wise using our time. Pray that we could be wise in fulfilling the purpose of our time. Pray that we could grow in this discipline of using our technology and time wisely for your sake, so that you could be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn with me in your Christian hymnal to number 140. 140. Cling to the Bible. My thought in picking this song is, and I'm not closing here, but as I was thinking about listening to Travis here with the